Hi guys, welcome back to the Just For Today podcast, where we dive deep into uncomfortable topics with no filters. My name is Adriana, and today I have my friend Sarah here with me.
Hi everybody.
Thanks for coming in.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Of course. Sarah and I actually met a while ago.
Forever ago.
Like 2019 maybe.
Yeah, because our girls were so young.
Yeah, like one or two.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're the first social media friend I met in person.
Yeah. We like instantly clicked too. And then she told me like a month later she was moving.
Yeah. I was like, no. I know. Yeah. And then I left. I know. And so much has happened since I left. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking about it actually before you got here that I don't want to cry already, but like we haven't seen each other since all your trauma and all my trauma.
Yeah.
You know, like
we haven't.
Was still alive and you were still, you know,
trying to have babies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's been a minute. All right. Well, why don't you go ahead and tell everyone a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So my name is Sarah. I was born and raised in Tempe, Arizona. Like whenever I tell anybody that, they're like, wait, I never meet people who have lived or like was born in Arizona and lived there, which is so weird to me. I love it though. I feel like I'm going to be an Arizona girly for my whole life.
Love it so much.
So I have a husband named Dean and we've been married for almost 8 years this month.
Aww.
And then we have a daughter named Brooklyn who's like the love of our lives. She's 6 years old. She's in kindergarten. She's my little mini me. Like it's scary how
it's so
close, like how much she is me.
Yeah.
Dean's always just like, oh, this is gonna be bad. He knows how I was in college. So
just wait.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a little bit about me. I'm a social media manager as my job. I was a teacher. And then when I had Brooklyn, I decided to stay home with her. And then I started getting kind of into the social media stuff. And so I started doing that like a couple years ago. And then UGC, I started doing that as well. And it's nice because I'm able to like pick my own hours, stay home with Brooklyn. Yeah.
I feel like that's the perfect job for moms.
It really is. And like I truly enjoy it too. So it's a win-win.
Yeah. And I mean you get free products and then you're real.
It is nice. It's great.
That's so nice. All right. So you said you do have a daughter, Brooklyn. She is the sweetest thing. Her and Emmy together are so cute.
We love each other.
So how was your pregnancy with Brooklyn? Walk us through that.
Yeah. So I love like thinking and talking about my pregnancy with Brooklyn because there was no trauma with any of it. Me and Dean, we decided, I can't remember how long we were married, maybe a couple years. And we're like, okay, like we're going to start trying. Thank God it was like, it was super simple for us. And I know a lot of women, it's very hard. So like, we felt very thankful for that. You know, I was sick with Brooklyn the first trimester, which is a very common thing. Mm-hmm. But after that, it was kind of smooth sailing. Like at the second I found out I was pregnant, I knew I was having a girl. I instantly knew. And we like loved the name Brooklyn. And it was just like so special. Had her a little bit early. She came at like 36 and a half weeks, but I don't know. I feel like my due date was wrong. So she was supposed to be like a Christmas baby and she came like as a Thanksgiving baby, November 30th. But she was 6 pounds, 7 ounces. Like I can't imagine how big she would have been if she was. Yeah. But yeah, it was just like such a happy time in our lives, which I like, she's just the best gift that we could have ever gotten.
Aww,
so
that's so sweet.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, no like issues with anything.
And what about delivery? Everything was fine with the delivery?
So it was a hard delivery. We were like actually like 10 minutes away from the doctor saying I was going to need a C-section.
Okay.
Cause I pushed for almost 3.5 hours.
Oh,
so she was stuck behind my pelvic bone.
Okay.
So they did everything to try to get her out. And then literally like the last second she came out, she was healthy. Like everything was fine. after the delivery, though, was when I started, like, obviously after you have baby, like, you bleed, and then there was a lot of, like, blood clot bleeding, which I remember because a lot of me and my girlfriends had babies at the same time, and I was like, is this, like, normal? And they were like, eh, it doesn't really seem like it.
Yeah.
So I'm, like, calling my doctor's office. Long story short, they had left retained placenta inside of me, which I could have died. It was a whole thing. So
that's crazy.
It was intense. I had to have a DNC done while having a 2-month-old baby.
Oh, 2 months?
2 months.
Is how long?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a lot. And if I knew what I know now from that,
yeah.
So they got it out, but, fast forward to now with everything we've gone through, like, I never would have in a million years guessed what would have happened.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. It was crazy. Like, I truly don't even, it feels like I don't remember, even remember that part about everything because I like try to block it out.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, it was
so
pretty.
What did they say? Did they try to make excuses or were you like, I mean, you, I know you're a first time mom, so you,
yeah,
this is your first time.
Yeah. It was a lot like, oh, it's your period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay. So we will circle back to this. But, so when did you know that? Did you want a big family from the beginning? Did you want, cause you're an only child.
I am. Right? Okay. So this also too, like the stigma around only children, I think it's just so hard in today's world. Like if you have only one kid, what's wrong with you? If you have too many kids, what's wrong with you? If you have zero kids, what's wrong with you? It's like, can everybody just have what they want to have? And like, everybody's opinions not be in it. Like, I don't know. That part to me is just so crazy. But
yeah.
So I'm an only child. I loved it. My mom had me when she was older.
Okay.
And she actually couldn't have another kid after me.
Okay.
But I grew up like around all my cousins. I have had like the same best friend since I was 5 years old. Her name's also Sarah. Like we were best friends. She was an only child. I was never lonely. Like I always had somebody over us for a play date. We always took somebody on trips with us. So like, I never felt lonely as a child. I loved it. And my parents are amazing. So we had Brooklyn and honestly for like a little bit, we were like, we might just have one kid.
Yeah.
And then I think she turned, this was around 2 years old and we were like, no, we want to have another. And it's so crazy because she was 2 years old and now she's six, almost six and a half. And like, it's been 4 years of this happening, which it doesn't even seem real.
Yeah.
So we started trying and I think it took us maybe like 4 months. We got pregnant. So in this time, like I had zero issues with Brooklyn. So there was never a thought in my head that like a miscarriage could happen.
Right.
So I think this one rocked us harder than anything because it was not in our heads that anything would happen. So,
so around what time of the year did you get pregnant? When was this?
Okay.
Summer,
so
right?
This was, I feel like I was 3 months pregnant, so like right out of the first trimester around Brooklyn's birthday, so November.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we like started telling people we had a gender reveal, so we knew we were having a boy. His name was Walker. And so we had like all of these, you know, we told Brooklyn, she came to every appointment with me. So it was so real and we were so excited about it. And at our 16-week ultrasound, it wasn't supposed to be an ultrasound. They were just supposed to do, like, hear the baby's heartbeat. And so I just remember, like, the nurse coming in. She's like, oh, like, this happens a lot. Like, don't worry about it. And Brooklyn's, like, on my stomach. Like, I want to hear baby brother's heartbeat. She was only like 3 at the time. So I don't really know like how much she remembers about this. But then the doctor came in, did the ultrasound. And while I have Brooklyn next to me, I had to see him. Obviously, he passed away in my belly around like 12 and a half weeks. But we have 4-week appointments. So, and it like, it just feels like a movie. Like, it doesn't feel real. Like, I will never get that image out of my head. And then, like, so I'm, like, in shock. Yeah. Like, all I could do was just sit there and cry. And Brooklyn's, like, there. And so I call Dean. And he's at work. Because he didn't come to my that appointment with me. Because he thought it was just like, a regular appointment. And so he, like, rushes over. And they, like, all the nurses come and, like, take Brooklyn. And they, like, set us in a different room. And he's like, have them check again. Like, that's not, like, he was in denial.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, like, I saw him. And so that one, like, rocked us really hard.
Yeah.
So I had to get a D&C done.
So what do you tell Brooklyn at that point? Like, she was there. So
she was there. She heard it. So we go home and we sat down with her and we said, like, baby brother got really sick and he's in a better place now. We always say, like, he's like a star in the sky. That's like our saying. Yeah. So she honestly, I think she does remember that one, but she didn't bring it up again until like, maybe like 6 months later. I remember like we were at a park and she was like, yeah, like whatever happened to Walker. And so like, I explained it to her again. But she truly like was so young. I'm not sure she can like grasp everything that was going on and like what was happening. So yeah.
Oh my gosh. I can't even imagine. And with her being there,
it was like a nightmare because I took her everywhere with me and I had zero idea that anything like that even could happen. Yeah. And I feel like that's also what is so hard for me and like why I like to talk about what my experience is with all of this, because I feel like it's so not talked about and like, It is a very common thing.
So common, yeah.
And women, I just feel like they feel so alone when, like, this kind of stuff happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our doctor, too, once we decided, oh, we want to start trying again, was like, yeah, like, miscarriages are so common.
Yeah.
And technically, it was still in the first trimester, even though we found out at 16 weeks, but it happened around 12 and a half weeks.
Right.
And so he, like, in our heads, we're like, okay, like, this is a very common thing that happens. So, like, we're not going to do anything different. Like, we're just going to try again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like we were kind of talking about this before we started the episode, but I think it's really common to, for, you know, someone has a miscarriage and people are like, well, you can just like try again or like have another baby. And if you haven't gone through it, you don't like, I haven't gone through it, but like knowing loss, it's like, no, you can't because you're not, it's not the same thing, you know, like you're still grieving a life with that child and that baby. And
yeah, like going off of that, I, in my head, I had never, like, I can admit, like, all my whole life I didn't have trauma.
Yeah.
So like in my head I was like, it's fine, I'm going to get pregnant again and we are going to have our baby and like this pain will go away.
Yeah.
Because I'm setting my mind on something else now and not truly living in my trauma and like feeling that pain, which I think it screwed me over the way I was trying to do it.
I think that's also common. You're not the only one. That, that's hard. So how did you process that? Like, did you ever have any feelings like this is my fault? Like, you know, my body did this,
So truly, I didn't have those thoughts. Like, I wasn't like, oh, I should. I mean, maybe I did have like the, oh, if I did this, but I didn't feel like that guilt, yeah, which I am proud of myself for.
Yeah.
But I, like I said, I didn't like help myself,
right,
in any way either. Like, I couldn't talk about it.
Right.
I didn't go to therapy. Dean would try to talk about it, and I was like, I'm fine. Like, I'm a person who's like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
We're good.
Yeah.
Which I'm not.
Yeah.
And let's just move on, and let's just like using those coping,
yeah,
skills, which I know now, like, really were not the,
yeah,
best.
Yeah.
But no, I think when we as women were carrying this child inside of us, we blame ourselves. And like, that's so sad to me.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of the times it's truly like not our fault. It's,
yeah,
not, and like, we can't hold on to that,
yeah,
because that will kill you inside for the rest of your life.
Yes,
yeah,
absolutely, absolutely. So this was the end of 2021, right? December 2021, I believe.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you said you did want to start trying again. How soon after did you start trying again?
So our doctor was like, I want you guys to wait at least 6 months. For your body to kind of heal, because we did have the DNC done. And like I said, in my head, I was like, once that 6 months is over, like, we're trying again. We're, yeah, getting our baby. So we go to the same doctor. This is also the thing. Like, I get so sick during my pregnancies, and everybody's like, that's such a good sign. Like,
yeah,
that's such a good sign. And like, in my head, I'm like, yep, like, you know, this is going to be different. I mean,
yeah,
I feel the exact same way. It doesn't matter what I do, what gender, obviously, because Brooklyn was a girl, Walker was a boy. So I go to my 12-week ultrasound, and they found out that the baby's heart had stopped beating around like 10 weeks. The same exact thing on the ultrasound.
And at this point, are you taking Brooklyn with you, or?
No. So,
okay, so does she know anything?
So, great question. After, like, her coming with us to the first one, and I was like, Dean, I can't tell her anything.
Yeah.
Which it's also really hard for me, because I'm so sick. I feel like I can't even be a mom to my,
yes,
own child. And, like, Dean works full time, and, like, my parents are very helpful. But, like, so she's still pretty young at this point.
Yeah.
So maybe she, like, felt like, oh, something is a little bit off with mom. But, like, she would never in her head be like, oh, my mom's pregnant again.
Right.
She can't. She didn't understand that.
Yeah.
So she had zero idea,
yeah,
about any of this. Okay. So after the second miscarriage, we're like, this just doesn't seem right. Like, I feel like we need to go to a specialty doctor. So we find this fertility doctor. A lot of people recommended him to me. And they do every test under the sun, we thought.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually do find out that I have a blood clotting disorder that I was, like, born with. And it is a pretty common disorder, but they're going to have me, like, start blood thinning shots every single morning, which those hurt so freaking bad. And like, this still, like, Brooklyn doesn't know anything.
Right.
So I'm doing those every morning, and I'm on progesterone. I'm on this, I'm on that. We do IUI 3 times. The third time we end up getting pregnant, and you know, we have hope. So we're doing all of these new things now,
yeah,
as well. We graduate from the fertility clinic, which in my gut, I knew I didn't want to be graduated yet from that because it doesn't happen this early.
Yeah.
Cause they graduate you at like 9 weeks or something.
Yeah.
So my next appointment,
did
my
12. Tell them that?
Yes.
And
but
still were like,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
My next appointment's my 12-week appointment with a new OB because I have too much trauma from my last one with the last two miscarriages.
Mm-hmm.
We go into the ultrasound room, which ultrasounds for me, I can't look. I throw up before them. I'm shaking. I can't even like take like my clothes off because I'm like shaking so bad. I'm hysterically bawling. Like,
it's like PTSD, right?
Truly, it is PTSD. Like, just from what I've seen on those ultrasounds before. So Dean would like squeeze my hand like every ultrasound, so I didn't have to look like, okay, you're good.
Right.
And I didn't get a squeeze. So that was our third miscarriage. And we're like, we have to be done. Like, we like meet up with the first, oh, and then I got another DNC. My body's like wrecked. Like, I can't even act like it because Brooklyn does not know, because I can't go through that with her again.
Yeah.
There's just like so many things. I feel like it's like, do I tell her? Do I not? Like, just like also that as a mom, like I hated keeping all of this from her, but like, I truly, after the first one, I'm like, I can't go through that. I'm already going through it with me and my husband. Like, I can't go through that with her too.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was the correct way to go about it, but like, to me, I just, it was the only way I could.
Yeah.
So the fertility doctor's like, well, the next step is IVF. But for what? Like, what do you have to back that up?
Yeah. Like, did they give you any other reasoning as to why this is happening?
There was no answers.
Nothing.
None.
The closest one you got was the blood clotting.
Yes. Which, obviously, the blood thinning shots didn't work.
Yeah.
Okay, so Dean and I are like, we have to be done.
Yeah.
We are seeing a therapist at this time. Mm-hmm. Truly, like, life-changing. I do EMDR because before I couldn't even, like, say Walker's name. I couldn't think about anything like that. Now we, like, celebrate him. So the month of May is really hard for us because it's his due date. Mm-hmm. But I, like, the years before I started doing therapy, like, I just pretended, like, nothing was going on. And now, like, it does feel nice and it does feel, kind of therapeutic to celebrate him.
Yeah.
And we didn't know the other genders of our other babies that haven't made it. But we like celebrate them as well on that date. So like last year we like took balloons, we wrote letters to them and we like floated them up to the sky.
And does Brooklyn go with you?
So she did not last year, but actually, now that you just mentioned that, so I'm very like open about it now. Okay. And so the other day she, I can't remember how it got brought up, but I was like, yeah, you know, in May, it was the baby in mommy's belly, like who didn't make it. It's his birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, would you want to like, maybe like get a little cake or like something and we can like celebrate him. And she was like, yeah.
Aww.
So I think we're going to do that this year. And just like keep that as a kind of a tradition that like all of us can celebrate together.
Yeah.
So we're like, done. We have to be done.
Yeah.
My body can't take it. Like Dean can't, like, emotionally, just kind of everything. And like I said, like, I couldn't be a mom to Brooklyn because I was so sick and like just everything that was happening.
Well, and you're like traumatized, you're depressed.
Yes.
You're, like,
all the things.
You want to just cry and like, that's hard.
Mm-hmm. And it just like sucked. Like, I didn't really know anybody who had gone through, like, truly, like, having four miscarriages or three or however many I had then.
Yeah.
Like, it's, like, less than 1% of women who have that many. I just felt so alone. Like, oh, in the comments, people, like, say to you, too, when they don't know, like, this is kind of going off topic from my story, but Brooklyn and I were at a trampoline park and one of the workers came up to us and he like knows us cause we like go to it a lot. Mm-hmm. And he was like, Brooklyn, how old are you? And she's like six. And he's like, oh, and your mom hasn't given you a sibling yet.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people feel so comfortable asking these questions, or even like asking you, are you going to have a second?
Yep.
Like, oh. Are you going to, like, strangers, I'm sure.
I don't know what it is, because I have friends who have one child, yeah, like from their choice.
Yeah.
And they're like, Sarah, this doesn't happen to us.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, what it is, but yeah, I will have strangers come up to me probably once a week say, oh, you guys better start trying for another one. You're going to have too big of an age gap.
Yeah, it's like,
or
you knew.
Don't you want to give her a sibling? Or, oh, you can't just have one kid. And I'm like, do you know how traumatizing that is for someone who has spent their last 4 years, like, truly, like, wrecking their entire body, like changing their entire life for something that you have zero idea about.
How much that little comment.
Oh, and like it used to, like, I used to just kind of like, I would be really sad about it and I wouldn't say anything. And when that guy said something to me at the trampoline park, I looked at him and I said, how about we never ask women that question?
Good for you.
Also, though, he was asking my six-year-old.
Yeah.
And Brooklyn looked at me.
Yeah.
And, like, she knows, like, some stuff. But she was just like, what? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. But now I will very openly say something.
Yeah. It's crazy how, like, going through these traumatic experiences almost, like, does give you a voice.
Yeah.
Because I feel like... like, you know, earlier you were saying you used to be, like, such a people pleaser and, like, you know, you didn't ask questions, you didn't do this, you didn't do that. I didn't either. But now I'm, like, the complete opposite. Like, if I have something to say...
I will say it.
Yeah. And you will know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, how dare you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think, yeah, I think that people need to be careful with these comments that they make, because you truly never know what someone's going through. And... yeah, how bad that stings. It's like, yeah, I would love to give her a sibling. If only you knew how fucking hard I've been trying.
And, like...
what I've been going through.
If I didn't want to give my kid a sibling, what is your issue?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
it's not your child.
No,
it's not
your
life.
I didn't realize how judgmental people were until you go through something like this. And everybody has an opinion.
Yeah. Everyone always has something to say.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was kind of... okay, so this is like the longest story ever. So,
I mean, it's a lot of stuff that happened. So this is your fourth miscarriage.
So that was my third
miscarriage, your fourth pregnancy.
Yes, my fourth pregnancy.
Okay.
And I have one kid from...
and you said no. No IVF.
No.
I'm done. We're
finished. If we don't have a straight answer, I can't go through that again.
Okay.
So, but like, let's be real. In my head, do I still want another baby?
Yes.
And that's been our goal.
Yeah.
It doesn't just magically go away. Like, it's something that eats alive at me every single day.
Especially because you had it and you were like so close and you...
that vision.
Yeah.
Of what our life was about to be.
Yeah.
And that doesn't diminish what my life is. I love my life. I love my daughter. I love my husband. Like, I love our family. They're enough for me. But I've had this vision in my head now for almost 4 years.
Yeah.
And I've carried three babies inside
of
me.
So many. That's so...
and that just doesn't go away.
Yeah.
And truly, like, people... who that haven't happened to, like, they will not understand that.
Yeah.
So I get this random DM from, like, a friend of a friend. She's telling me how she, like, went and saw this woman-owned fertility clinic. And she's like, Sarah, it honestly was, like, night and day from other clinics that I've been to. I'm like, well, what can it hurt?
Yeah, right?
Give it a shot. Dean's just like, okay, Sarah.
Yep. Yeah.
And I get on the Zoom call. She asks me to explain everything that's happened from Brooklyn up until now. She stops me after 20 minutes of us talking. And she says, Sarah, you've had how many DNCs at this point? 5 DNCs in placenta left inside of you. And you've never gotten the inside of your uterus checked out. And I'm like, well, I've gotten, like, ultrasounds. And she's like, no, no, no. the inside of your uterus, like a hysteroscopy where we go inside, we take a camera, we take a sample, we check all the things. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no. So 2 weeks later, I get, it's like a small procedure at their office. I wake up from it. She's like, honestly, like everything looked good, but we're going to send this sample. I find out that I have like extreme endometriitis. It's not endometriosis, but endometriitis, which is basically the infection or inflammation of your uterus.
Okay.
So the baby lives inside your uterus.
Right.
So it what is a huge, what am I trying to say? Like a symptom of endometriitis, recurrent miscarriages.
Right.
And not one person has checked me for this before.
Right.
So she's like, we're going to put you on an antibiotic, for a couple weeks. They retested me. It seemed to be gone.
At this point, can they tell you how long it's
no.
been?
No.
No. Okay.
But assuming.
Yeah.
Probably since after I had Brooklyn.
Right.
So, like, she's almost six at this point.
Yeah.
So, almost 6 years.
Yeah.
I've had this probably.
And you've had pain and all that.
And I had symptoms. I had pelvic floor pain. Obviously, the miscarriages. There was one other I can't think of right now. But, yeah. And no doctor would.
That's so crazy to me.
It's, yeah, it's really scary.
Yeah.
So we get.
Like, instead of being like, oh, yeah, try again, like, it's normal.
Yeah.
Like, could have just tested you and, wow, that's mm-hmm. crazy.
Yeah, it's all, like, such, like, a mind F, too.
Yes.
Because, like, what do you mean I've had healthy babies in me, but they haven't had the support they needed?
Right. Right.
But nobody figured that out.
Yeah.
So we get pregnant again. We don't do IUI. We don't do IVF. We just get pregnant naturally. And besides the Walker one, this one was really hard too. So we are at a high risk doctor. She's seeing me every single week.
Mm-hmm.
So that means ultrasounds every single week, which mm-hmm. also is the worst. We go in for our 19-week anatomy scan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like, in our heads, like, we're good.
Yeah.
I bought a big sister shirt for Brooklyn. We were going to give it to her after. Like, this was going to be, like, the happiest day of our life.
Yeah.
Like
halfway, basically.
Yeah. And we're in the ultrasound room, and, like, I just don't feel Dean squeeze my hand. And I just, like, I don't really remember that moment, but that one was really hard. They've all been hard, but that one was just like, no, we were in the clear. Like, I was in denial. Like, we were in the clear.
Yeah, and that's the longest one, right?
Yes, and that was the longest one. So we get sent to a different room. We have the DNC all set up.
Oh,
and we go have to, instead of going home to tell our daughter she's going to be big sister, we have to sit down with her because she asked us every day, like, I want a sibling. I want a sibling. We had to sit down with her and tell her, like, mom and dad did everything.
Yeah.
They could.
So did they tell you at this point, like, you,
so
after that DNC,
so after the DNC, we had a follow up.
Okay.
And she's, like, truly, like, the number one high-risk doctor in Arizona that we were seeing. And she's like, you know, we could try this. Like, even, like, with her talking about it, though, I was like, so, like, tell me. Like, should we even, like, attempt? Like, I talked about IVF. She's like, you've had an infection in you for so long.
Yeah.
In my medical, like, the medical advice I'm going to give to you is I don't think you're going to be able to fully carry, healthily carry a baby to full term.
Right. Because that infection was back, right? That's.
So I think it just never went away, and it's been in me for so long that
it's just
because the placenta attaches to the uterus, which gives the baby all its nutrients that it needs, and the baby was measuring smaller.
Yeah.
And so, like, my body isn't a safe home for the baby.
Yeah. So going back 5 years, 6 years at this point, it all started from that. Yeah. After having Brooklyn, the placenta.
Mm-hmm.
How does that make you feel?
Mad. Like, obviously we can't, like, fixate on the past because it happened.
Yeah.
And we've been through all... I wish I just knew sooner.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's been a lot of... for the past 4 years, have put, like, my body, my mind, our family, like, through hell.
Through so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did that, like, obviously it took an emotional toll on you. Did it take any toll on your marriage, would you say?
Yeah, that's a great question. This is really crazy to say, and we've talked about this a lot in therapy, because going through stuff like this can either, like, make or break your marriage.
Yeah.
And we've honestly gotten closer.
Yeah.
I would say, like, going through trauma like that together, he's really the only one that can relate the most to me with it. He's been there with me through all of it.
Yeah.
And I would say, yeah, it's made us closer in, like, the saddest way possible.
Yeah. 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 Cause you do hear a lot about, like, or, you know, if I think, I mean, I don't know statistics right now, but I've heard that, like, loss of a child, can be a cause of divorce.
It's
like one of the top causes of divorce. But yeah, I mean, it is also kind of nice to have that person there that went through it all with you, like, obviously in different ways, but, oh man. Yeah. That's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Brooklyn, does she know anything about that?
Okay. So she's older now, right?
Yeah.
Like, the first time she was, I think, had just turned 3.
Yeah.
But now she's almost 6.
Yeah.
Cause this happened last year.
Yeah.
And so we had to sit down with her and tell her, like, mom and dad tried everything we could, but mommy's, like, there's something wrong with mommy's tummy that she can't hold a baby.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's genuinely, like, so smart. She's so empathetic. She's just like, she thought about it and she was sad about it.
Yeah.
And I, like, wanted her to, like, feel those emotions because she's allowed to.
Yeah.
And she doesn't really bring it up with us, but a couple months ago, my mom said she was, like, with her cousin, and she heard her, like, telling her that she did have a baby brother, but he got sick. And she was just, like, very mature about it.
Yeah.
And, like, I, like, want her to talk about it if, like, she feels like she needs to.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still something, like, that's so hard for us because, like, Dean and I will, like, be sitting in bed and we're, like, we literally should have, like, a 3-year-old this month.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, events that we go to, you know, like, obviously, like, a lot of families have more than one kid, and, it's just, like, hard, because we're always thinking, like, oh, like, he should be, or he or she, or whoever, you know, should be here with us.
Yeah.
It's,
like, mini triggers, you know?
Everywhere.
Like pregnancy announcements.
Yep. Oh,
baby showers.
Yeah. For a while I had to, like, mute every single person who was pregnant, not because I wasn't happy for them, but because it, like, truly killed me inside.
Yeah.
My best friend who I talked to about at the beginning of this, she found out she was pregnant with her third baby, like, a couple months after I found out I was pregnant with our last miscarriage. That was really hard. I mean, you just see life go by, and all these people have their babies.
Yeah.
and you still don't.
Yeah. Do you think that's something Brooklyn thinks about, like seeing maybe siblings playing together, like maybe not something she talks about?
Yeah.
That goes through her mind.
She, before we had like that sit down with her, she is a big people pleaser like me. So yeah. I think after that sit down, she knows, she kind of knows like it doesn't make me feel happy and like she doesn't like it when I'm not, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
Like if she talked about it, I would be totally fine. But before that, yeah, she would talk about it a lot. The other day we were getting ready for something and she could tell I was sad and I'm like trying to be more open about everything. And I was just like, yeah, I'm just feeling sad about like the baby we lost. And she's like, yeah, I get that. And I was like, do you feel sad about it too sometimes? And she's like, yeah, but like, I don't like to see you sad. So like, I know she does feel those feelings.
Yeah. She just doesn't like seeing you hurt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's so sweet.
She's the sweetest. She's our little angel. We always say like, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Recently you're told you won't be able to carry.
Yeah. I've done a lot of therapy and I'm like, actually like really, it feels really freeing to say I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I have come to terms that I will not carry another baby inside of me and I am okay with that.
Yeah.
And that's a huge step for me. Would I love to? Of course, that's what I've been trying to do for the past 4 years, but I'm not going to. And I think that's kind of another thing that, like, I've struggled with. I know a lot of people, like, love to, like, want to make you try to feel better or, like, give advice.
Yes.
Because I still do have people, like, who reach out to me and I know they mean no, like, bad intentions by it. But they're like, oh, but have you tried this?
Yes.
Or, oh, are you pregnant? Like, I know it's going to happen for you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not going to be.
Yeah. You're like, this
and
is it.
It like, I know they're not trying to make me feel like this, but I'm like, it kind of makes me feel like, oh, you've given up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if you knew what I have done for the past 4 years to try to make this happen.
Yeah.
Like, we can all just be at peace with it now.
Yeah.
Because I am.
Yeah. It's so easy from the outside looking in to judge, right? Because they didn't live through it. I know you share bits and pieces on social media, but, like, no one knows the extent of the pain. And, I mean, like, bonding with a baby, knowing you're carrying this baby inside of you, losing 4 kids in 4 years, it's like, It's so easy. It's just so easy to judge from the outside looking in, you know, like, it's not I feel the same, like totally different situation. But like when people judge me for dating, like shortly, you know, like a year after Eric died, like, oh, how could you do that?
Yeah.
You don't know that because you didn't live a single day in my shoes.
Nope.
Right.
So you did not go through the trauma that I have had to live with.
Yeah. So coming to like a peace with it and knowing like, okay, I'm okay with this. Some people don't get it because they didn't live through it. They don't know what you went through and all the pain that you and your family, not just you, literally everyone that loves you, seeing you depressed and miserable and, you know, like.
Yeah, I like, I can't go through it again.
Yeah.
And my pregnancies, any kind of miscarriage is hard and it sucks and it's so sad.
Yeah.
But I go up to 20 weeks.
Yeah.
I can't, like,
yeah,
I can't.
Yeah. That's,
and I can't be a good mom. I can't be a good wife. I can't be a friend. I can't do anything.
Yeah.
Because of it all.
Yeah.
But I'm at peace. So
good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
So what's next for you? What are you guys planning next?
So, there's like,
there's always something.
You would think, right? You would think at this point we're done.
Yeah.
So we've thought about every single option, honestly. I know I can't carry a baby personally.
Right.
So I'll basically nobody knows this, but we did, IVF in January.
Okay.
So we could see if we could get healthy embryos.
Okay.
And we do. And honestly, one of the reasons why we even had this in our heads was because my best friend told us she would be our surrogate.
Mm-hmm.
She would carry our baby for us, which is truly the craziest, most selfless thing you could do for somebody. Yeah. But long story short, after she just had her third baby, there was some stuff. So because to be a surrogate, you have to be cleared of everything. And there was some stuff that happened that she couldn't,
right,
anymore. But that's kind of the avenue and path that we're thinking of at this point.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And have you started doing anything to kind of go down that route yet, or is it still kind of just a thought?
There's definitely some big ideas that all the research, it's right. A lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, we do want to make that thought turn into, know, hopefully sooner than later.
Yeah.
Right now we're just kind of researching all the things.
Yeah. So how do you go about that? For people that don't know, I myself don't really know much about surrogacy.
Yeah. It's very new for us too. I think a lot of people are surrogacy, what celebrities do because they don't want to carry a baby themselves. And I'm
no.
Oh, is it only that easy? Truly. Of course I want to carry another baby myself, but that's not our option.
Yeah. You're I can't do it. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of Facebook groups you can join, a lot more than I ever thought there was, about women who it's truly crazy, not crazy, but it's amazing how many women, want to do this for other families who can't.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing.
It's been really eye-opening. And it's been eye-opening to see how many women can't carry a baby themselves.
Yeah.
I didn't realize.
Yeah.
It's really great that there's options for you if you are still wanting to grow your family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you, when you pick someone, does it have to be, local to you? Does that matter? Can you be far away?
Yeah. So, they can be local or it can be far away. In our minds, we were so you can either go, independent route, which is not through an agency.
Okay. So you just find someone.
Yes. But then it's an agency helps you step by step.
Okay.
There's so many legal things and there's so many, obviously so much. Somebody's carrying your child.
Right.
But it can be somebody from a different state and then they just have to get medically cleared. It would be with our fertility clinic, that we have here, but, they would just fly out and then do some of the appointments here, but then mainly be
over there or wherever they're at.
Yeah.
And money wise, do you have to pay agencies? Do you pay the person? If it was independent, you'd pay them straight out.
Yeah. I mean, that's also the thing. We don't even know financially if it's even an option. We're just truly it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
There's a lot that goes into it.
And then I can only imagine how much you've already spent, right?
In the last
4 or 5 years. And that's a lot.
Yeah. So it's just kind of an open-ended thing right now where we're just exploring all of our options at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, that's hard. That's a lot.
Yeah.
And it's, I start to think about, I don't know why my mind's this way, but it is, you know, you like hear horror stories of like moms like doing things to their kids or like not wanting their kids or like killing their kids or doing this. And it's like, why is that fair? Like it's, why is that happening? You know, there's like so many people that don't want their children or mistreat their children. And here is, you know, a loving family that can't have that.
Yeah.
And I don't know. That's just a way my mind works now. I feel like, especially after Eric died too, it's like, why, like not saying that I want someone else to die, but like, you know, there's shitty dads out there that don't even care about, you know,
it's really, like,
it's not fair.
No, I like would think like that too.
Yeah.
Cause that's where my mind goes too. Yeah. And I'm like, I have to be like, Sarah, stop.
Yeah.
Because it is, it's really sad.
Yeah.
And it's not fair.
Yeah. No, it's not fair. So there's still hope. Are you still?
We're still keeping the hope.
Still hope. Okay. Yeah. So would you say there was a point where fear started to outweigh the hope and now it's back? Or what is your mindset on it? Like, what, where do you see yourself in a few years?
I don't want this to consume my entire life.
Right.
I get that. I don't want like Dean to start thinking like our family isn't enough for me.
Right.
He's been like such a rock through this entire thing. And like, he knows how bad he obviously wants it, but like how bad I want it.
Right.
So, you know, this is kind of like, I've told myself like, this is our last try.
Yeah.
And I will be so incredibly okay with how my family is right now.
Yeah.
Because they're perfect and I love them, but yeah, I mean, I can't keep going on for the rest of my life. Like,
yeah,
there'll always be a thought in my head.
Yeah.
What if?
Yeah.
And I think it is like the what ifs that kill you. But now that I feel like if we do go the surrogacy route, it would, I would be okay. I would still have those what ifs, but like we tried truly everything.
Yeah.
Cause if we didn't, I don't know if I would have been, I don't know if I would be okay.
Yeah. I think the what ifs, if you didn't try, would hurt harder than, you know, like,
no, I've had to process that a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like realize like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Like you literally have
done. Cause people will be like, after our like first one, like, Sarah, you can't go through that with your body again. And what did I do? I've had 5 pregnancies. I have 1 child. I've gone through every single test in the entire world, every medication, every shot. But like that to me is better than the what ifs.
Yeah. Cause you know, you tried and you did all that. So you can't say, well, what if I tried this instead? Cause you did.
Yep.
You did it all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here is a question I have for you.
Okay.
What would you say to the woman who might carry your child one day?
Oh, I'll start bawling.
I'm too.
I don't even know if there's enough words that I would be able to say to somebody who would like be able to give us that gift. I don't know. It's like such a selfless act. Like, I don't even have the, I don't know. I it's truly like, no, like, I don't have words.
Yeah. I have chills all over my body because just like feeling, you know, like I just, I know what that would mean to you. And to, sorry, my boogers are coming off.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, it would just like, be life changing.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, we were friends before all this started and I've always said, like, you've always been such a bright light. You're such a good mom.
Thank
like, you know, before you even tried and gone through this trauma after trauma, like, if I don't think there's anyone more deserving than you. So I really do hope that you find someone and that you get your miracle baby.
Well, thank you.
And thank you for coming in here. And
well, I love you.
I love you too. This is way overdue.
No, obviously.
Oh, all our trauma dumping.
Yeah, seriously, I know. We could keep going.
We really could. Go through this whole box of tissues. I know. All right. Well, thank you so much for hanging out with me.
Yeah, thank
you. We'll have you back on. And if you guys want to continue to be a part of these conversations, make sure to subscribe, like, follow, do all the things. And don't forget, just for today, keep going.